Hello, my friends. Today we are talking to Ryan and Josh, the CEO and CTO at X-Team, and we discuss the incredible uniqueness of the culture that they are building, how they create micro-challenges and bounties to keep remote developers energized, and the benefits of prioritizing consistency over intensity. All of this right here, right now, on the Modern CTO Podcast.
Here we go!
This is the Modern CTO Podcast.
Hello.
Hi, Joel.
How you doing, my friend?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hey.
What up, Ryan?
How's it going, Joel? Great to see you, man.
Dude, is that an owl? Is that like a purple owl on your shirt?
Owl is a great idea. It's actually a werebear.
it's a werewolf slash bear.
That is correct. Which means that it's a man who can turn into a bear at night. X-Team has these houses in its community. So kind of like Game of Thrones, right? You have the house and each of them has a sigil. And so this is the House Nightclaw. And this is their sigil, which is this awesome bear guy. But the cool thing about the houses is they come together, they do all these competitions, and they're always basically competing for survival. And so we just lost a house a few weeks ago, unfortunately. It's very sad times.
So what happens when you lose the house?
the people stay.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's a cool thing. I mean, that's the thing we've been doing. You know, we've been remote for a decade now, or more than a decade now. So you figure out ways to bring the energy back, to make things interesting, to create micro communities within a much larger community, which is all the kinds of things you normally get with an office. But, you know, you have to intentionally do it in some way remotely. And so because we're all geeks, we're all developers, doing houses worked out quite well for us.
I've never seen that, but I love it. Is there like a list of the houses on your website?
You know, I'm not sure that we have it explicitly on the site. Our blog is filled with, you can go back and look for any of the seasons, because basically they're broken into seasons that they compete. Just look for any of the past season reviews and you'll see some of the other houses competing there. The one that just died, unfortunately, is called Steel Fire. It's like it's a mechanical dragon. Really cool house. I'll have to go wear that later.
This is quite possibly the most interesting thing I've ever heard. I want to know more. Under what metrics do they compete?
Yeah, so a good classic one is steps. So we have, the competitions are called versus. So we have versus steps, right? And so steps, it's a 24-hour competition. And it's really important that it's 24 hours so that everyone around the world, because we're in 50 plus countries, has a chance to participate. But basically, you got 24 hours, log as many steps as you can on your step tracker, post it to the Slack channel, and then we tally them all up. And whichever house has the most steps for the day, basically wins that competition, earns their points, earns their resources for their house, et cetera, et cetera. And then, yeah, so what's that? We do like arcade, we do like Pac-Man, we'll do Space Invaders, we're doing like a battle royale within Slack this upcoming season, which is a really cool Slack bot we made. Yeah, there's all sorts of competitions. We try to keep things fresh, try to keep things interesting, all about bringing the energy as much as we can every week.
Did you get your start as a game designer?
You know, never professionally been a game designer, I don't think. I worked at a casino, though. That might have
yes.
That might have had some impact.
I would win the steps one. I'm a pretty active person.
Really?
I would motivate my house to win the steps one. I would make the people who don't even want to take steps. Yeah, we would win.
What's the most steps you've done in a day? Let's see if you can beat our top scorer.
I don't know, but I just know I would win.
Oh, you never tried?
No, I don't track. I know that I'm a very, I used to be 300 pounds. I used to be a big boy. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I was young,
wow, congrats.
Thank you. And then I got into high school and everybody was getting girlfriends, to put it politely. And I was like, oh, I want to, you know, lose weight. And so it worked out pretty well. But yeah, I'm very competitive with the fitness stuff. Like, I like it. I like pushing my own boundaries. Like, as far as my mindset goes, I'm that individual. I'll get up. I like to do 5 a.m. runs because I like to look at the stars, and then I eat, and then I go and I lift, and then I'm getting into the office by like 8 o'clock, you know? So I do my whole fitness morning routine, and I'm like going 100 miles an hour by the time 9 a.m. hits.
Man, you sound like an ex-teamer.
I probably do. You guys have some good people then.
I think the most we've seen is like 50,000 steps in one day.
Ooh.
I can do 10,000 and I'm hurting. 50,000 is crazy.
I'd be getting joint injections. You're like, let's win. So
your point though about being a game designer, I just remembered a lot of the inspiration for me comes from when I was 12 years old running a Heroes of Might and Magic. You ever play that game?
No. Is it good?
Heroes of Might and Magic, one of the most amazing PC games back when I was 12. And I ran like an online clan for it. And there was just so much, you know, like belonging and community and energy. I would race home every day after school to get back to that. And so when we're thinking about, well, what kind of company do we want to make? What kind of community do we want to live within that? You know, we want it to feel like those days. We want it to feel like something you whip your laptop open to every day because you're excited to see what happens next. And so I think it's a very different way of thinking about how to build culture within the company. But when you are completely remote, you have to start getting creative in ways that you can do that. And that's the cool thing. You know, that clan was people from 20 different countries too. So to anyone who says you can't sort of build culture online, it's kind of silly because there's so many examples, whether it's the Linux community or World of Warcraft or what are all these communities that have built culture online for decades now. You just have to put in the effort, and it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, I was on Team Compete early, like when it was Xbox, before Xbox Live came out, it was Xbox Connect because you could network and fool the LAN. And then Xbox Live came out. And that was actually one of the earlier softwares I built. We had tried to like make a competitor, or we did. We made like a use PHP and made a competitor to Team Compete, which at the time, I don't know if they're still around, but at the time they were like the place where you would go form your clan and go through your championships.
Oh, nice. I see. That's the kind of stuff to like, you see people's faces light up even talking about it. And that's what life's all about.
I've never seen a company implement it like that. Now, so you're Ryan, you're the CEO, Josh, you're the CTO.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
So how did you meet Ryan?
Wow.
I remember that first day.
Yeah.
Do you remember that first day?
They were good days. So we met Ryan when we worked with him on a project in his previous company.
The casino.
Yeah. That's right. Tell us a bit about that. That story and how that came to be.
Yeah, so we were working on it basically was the Yelp for slot machines. And so, you know, I don't know if you...
That was a hard one to connect, a Yelp for slot machines.
Yeah. Stay with me. Stay with me. Yeah,
I'm so investing. I don't know if you're...
It doesn't exist anymore, by the way. But... I don't know if your mom plays slot machines, but you know, 55-year-old women are pretty intense when it comes to slot machines. They are as hardcore passionate about slot machines as we are about, you know, video games or, you know, Heroes of Might and Magic. So they never had sort of a community or a place to go rate slot machines or talk about, you know, I did this, I did this little trick. I tapped it 3 times fast and I won $100. You know, they have crazy superstitions and things. So they needed a place to come together. And so we made that, and it was really great. And then that was actually, yeah, how I first met X Team. And then after that, yeah, Josh. So we started working together with Fox Broadcasting, and building that team up. And, yeah, eventually the offer came along to be CEO. So took that, and it's been quite a wild ride the last 8 years now.
Yeah, you came along at a really interesting time when the company was still, you know, still in its formative stages. and there were lots of things happening, lots of new opportunities opening up. And yeah, it's just been really wonderful to see it kind of grow and become its own, develop its own culture and its own experience. Yeah, it's been a fun time.
Where are the founders at?
So the founder works on all sorts of other sort of investments. For example, he's working on a school system. I guess you know more about that, Josh.
Yeah, there's, I mean, Dave is an incredibly talented and creative guy. So he's always got his hand in lots of different things and ideas. There's education platforms, different ventures going on there. So that's keeping him busy at the moment. And X-Team was one of his early kind of brainchilds that really took off.
Do you know what the education platform does?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of an iteration upon the X-Team community in some ways. You know, we have a lot of internal platforms that facilitate all the stuff we were kind of talking about. For example, we have these things called bounties, which are these little micro challenges that you can do to, again, stay energized as a remote worker. So, you know, if something like go hike to the highest peak in your city. Or right now, a popular one is probably going to be, watch a concert on YouTube with full volume on your TV, you know, because we can't go to concerts. So there's these little micro challenges. They come with rewards that are various sort of collectibles like this shirt. And so we wanted to say, well, what happened if we move that into the education sector? You know, what if there's this whole sort of community platform for schools, especially as they're going remote? To help keep them connected, help still strengthen all those bonds and those friendships, and keep people energized that way. So that's just one part of it. There's a lot of integrations with various other school platforms, like, you know, scheduling and PTO, but what's the equivalent of kids taking time off school? I guess.
Yeah.
PTO.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think
you
can imagine that.
PTO time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of organizational challenges within the life of a school. You've got students, teachers, and parents, and all of the interactions that they have. So building that around a community platform is a way of, you know, doing that, sort of getting beyond just the necessities and getting to something that energizes people, that makes them excited to take part in that community. Which is what we've seen in X-Team. So that's what we kind of want to bring into other communities as well.
How deep does this go? Because I'm like, I'm sorry. I think this whole interview is gonna be about your culture, because I'm just, I'm blown away by this. So like, I'm going to throw something out there. You tell me if it's true or not. So are there like collectible shirts or something? Like, will some people have physical goods that they've collected that like other people won't have? And then they're like talking about it.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've been looking for this for months. Thankfully you brought it up. Here's my collectible hat.
Okay.
So I'm going to wear this.
So how did you get that hat? Tell me how you get this hat.
So I probably competed in something, or I am the admin. So I just stole it.
You can't temp ban the admin.
But no, Josh, for example, you've had to earn your beanie you just got.
Yeah, I'm still waiting.
How'd you get it?
I'm still waiting on the beanie because, you know, the mail system these days is a bit slower than normal. But I'm waiting on that beanie. I'm so excited about it coming. And, you know, I've had this experience before. You know, you get a parcel delivery and it's you can tell that it's from X-Team. You open it up and it's very exciting. You want to get on Slack and share with everyone. Look at what arrived in the mail today. So that's always a good moment. But yeah, how do you get it? As Ryan said before, you know, we have this, it's kind of like a scavenger hunt style thing. So there are a lot of targets called bounties, and there's plenty that are related to your area of interest. So like people who are photography enthusiasts, there'll be a bounty of like, you know, take a photo that's using focal depth and share it with the rest of the group, you know, or like people who are always, you know, getting outside, you know, go for a run that's, you know, longer than you've ever run for before. So there's little, just mini challenges like that. You complete one of those and share it with the rest of the group. And then you get awarded these Slack coins. And that that comes up as a little notification. You've earned some coins. And then you can head over to the vault, which is where all of these collectibles are stored. And depending on how many coins you've racked up, you can pick a few of these items and get them shipped to your house.
Do I have to be an employee to participate? This is awesome. I'm joking, but this is so cool. Oh, you're pulling it up on the screen share.
Yeah, I feel bad. This is an audio podcast.
No, we do a video on YouTube. We'll drive everybody.
Oh, you do? Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. So here's some of the current items that are in there. Here's the beanie he just got. Yeah, here's the steel fire, the guys who fell, unfortunately. And so the other cool thing is like this one
now
is
it's even more collectible because they've fallen.
That's right. Yeah, they become rare.
Gotta up the coins. Now it's gotta be anymore and make the current ones more expensive.
That is true. But this is a cool example. So this is for anyone listening, it's a Goku inspired t-shirt. And the cool thing is like we let the community design it with the designers. So they come up with the concept, they vote on the concept, what it'll look like, what character will be, whatever, you know. And so they actually get ownership sort of in this too, which I think is really important. The other thing here is we have a lot of charity based things. So if you don't want any of the collectible hats or shirts or whatever, you can just donate that straight to a cause that you believe in. And so, you know, 5 coins gets you a $50 charity donation. That's a very popular option. We've raised funds for so many amazing causes over the years as a result of this. Just tens of thousands of dollars have gone into this. So there's so many cool things. And actually, I'll flip over to the bounties page so you can kind of see what those look like.
Yeah.
So this is per season. So, look at that. You've got like a season thing up there.
Yeah. Next season's kicking off in a few weeks. So here's a share a photograph or a story of your proudest moment in XHQ. It's a cool way of just getting to know people too, you know, because it's kind of like that high school dance issue with Slack channels. You know, everyone's there. No one knows what to say other than, you know, post a link to whatever you saw today. So when you want to actually get meaningful conversation going, sometimes you got to nudge them in the right direction. And it's even better if you can get a reward for it, you know?
So do you license this yet?
Yeah. So, I mean, like we said, the education platform we've built is also sort of a white label version of that that can be applied to any community. So, you know, we're starting to look at bringing this to other businesses now that remote work is more popular. People are looking for this sort of thing. And also providing sort of a service on the side to provide it, because obviously it takes a lot of work to
my first thought was, okay, you have this tool, right? But the hardest part is going to be actually getting the organization to like get into it. I mean, your organization
who's gonna design the shirts.
Yeah. You know? And then you have to have the people who are builders of community in the organization who are attracted to this. So there will definitely be a handful of companies that like have the right people and will want to do it. I think everybody would say that they want to do it. But then the actual walk me through a season. How long does a season last?
So we try to make them 3 months, and then there's sort of a break in between. The break is super important. But yeah, about 3 months. And within that 3 months, you'll have a new event happening every week. You don't want to burn people out, but I think that's sort of, if we take a step back, there might be some people listening thinking, man, this is too much for me. Like I just want to go to work, code and go home. Or in this case, as a remote worker, turn off the laptop. And that's cool. Like there are some people who just only take advantage of one piece, or they might do one bounty a season. This is not like a constant, it's all optional. And it's there when you need it. And that's kind of the thing with remote work. Like sometimes you just need that energy boost. Because you don't have an office around you, you don't have the buzzing and the people to talk to and that kind of stuff. You just need an energy boost. And so that's kind of what these events do. That's what these bounties do. We also have this other piece of season called Unleash Plus, which of course is not going to load right now, so I'm not going to show you that. But
well, let's take just like 30 seconds real quick, because I got so excited about this culture thing because it was unique. What is X-Team?
Oh, yeah, right. There's a whole company that we run. X-Team is, let's give some context, obviously. We're a fully remote company, as I've said, and we build these high-performing on-demand teams of developers for companies really of all sizes. We're working with a lot of big brands as well, like, you know, Riot Games. I mentioned Fox before, Coinbase, Sony, Kaplan Education, Beachbody, Fair is a new one. You know, ton of cool companies, and we act as sort of the extension of their engineering teams, and we help them scale faster. So they'll come to us saying, "Hey, we need two front end guys by tomorrow." Boom, done. And so we're helping them scale, helping them improve their products. And so the key to that, though, and having that scalability ability, is having a community of developers at the ready that we can sort of call upon to join these teams. And so we had to create the ultimate community for developers, the community that everyone wanted to be a part of. And that's sort of what we did. It took us many years, but now we have this sort of experience that so many developers are attracted to. And it allows us to quickly call upon people to scale these teams and keep them energized, keep them, because that's the other thing. The companies come to us because they want that consistency with every developer that they add. They're looking for that proactive, highly energized people that are going to move their projects forward. And the only way you get that is by keeping their energy high. And so everything we've been talking about the last 20 minutes is how we keep that energy high for them, how we keep them consistently, executing and adding value. I think we were talking, Josh, earlier about how it's about consistency, not intensity. And so that's the key for us is how do we keep remote developers who are in a very isolated environment, keep their energy consistent. And so that's where all this cool stuff comes from.
Yeah. I mean, I was a mostly remote developer for 17 years. So it takes, I refer to it. I think one of my more popular things on the website is where I'm talking about like work from home depression. Because what happens is it sneaks up on you. You don't really realize it's happening because it doesn't happen just in one day. And then you have to end up, well, you either succumb to it or you end up figuring out these little tricks to play about how to move your office from room to room or how to structure your days. So like you're going outside to the gym or you're doing a workout or you're going to a coffee shop. You have to figure out how to satisfy like the human side of you in order to not get depressed.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a huge, huge issue. And it's only going to get more, I think, evident to the world now that so many companies are going remote. Everything's good at the start. But like you said, it's going to sneak up. And when it does, you really have to support your people through it, because you got to make sure that, for example, that's what we're going to talk about before, is we do give developers $2,500 a year, for example, to spend on anything that energizes them, anything that keeps that energy going. So whether that's a gym membership, whether that's, you know, a jet ski rental, you know, whether that's whatever, I don't know what it's going to be, but something's going to come along. So you're like, you know, I'm really getting tired of these four walls. I need to change cities for a weekend. I need to go to the coffee shop and work. You're like, whatever it takes to keep that energy and keep you sane, we will sponsor. And so I think that's sort of the next gen of company of what you're going to start seeing is, oh, there's this remote depression thing. Okay, how do we help people with this? And it's going to be supporting them through whatever means necessary to get them what they need. And I think you mentioned it, like you just learn over time a lot of self-awareness of what you need to be able to function still, whether that's, like you said, changing rooms to work on certain tasks or, you know, going out and changing your environment, whatever it might be. So it's going to be an interesting next year, I think.
Did you guys give me some insight? Because people are going to be listening and they're going to think, this is amazing. There's a million things you guys do because you've been around for a long time. And so they've gotten to like build up. But, you know, if I were CTO listening or, you know, maybe just a team lead listening, and I'm like, hey, what is like one small culture step that I could take today? Like, what would that be?
Yeah, it's interesting because I gave a a talk about this, which is probably worth shouting out, I guess. If you search on YouTube for running remote X team, there's a good 30-minute talk I gave on the answer to that. Because a lot of people are like, well, we don't have a ton of money. We don't have a lot of time. Like, for example, we have full-time game designers. Like, I don't think that exists in companies that are not gaming companies, like full-time game designers. But that's, you know, we've invested a lot in making this work. So if you're just looking for that first sort of step, my number one tip is always talk to your people first. The biggest mistake that I'm seeing happening right now is they are assuming that everyone wants more Zooms, for example, that everyone wants a bunch of happy hours, that everyone wants whatever the office was, let's just do that again, but let's do it online. And that's not what people want once they're at home. Once they're at home, they want to spend more time with their family. They want to spend more time, like you said, going to the gym in the morning. They want to spend more time doing the things that they love, doing the things that energize them. And so start with, well, what do they need? And how can I help support them? How can I help energize them? How can I help give them more of what they actually want now that they're in this environment? Don't assume you just need to recreate the office experience. So that's kind of step one, is just start talking to them and figuring it out. A lot of them won't know what they necessarily want from you, and that's okay. And that's when you can kind of try to start innovating and try to start doing things. I think a simple one is certainly the versus steps we talked about earlier. That's so easy. Just people take screenshots of their step tracker and post it to a channel over 24 hours. Anyone can do that. You don't need special apps. Just a simple sort of little competition that can help unify people in an easy way. So, I mean, that's one example. But yeah, just start getting to know your people. That's the cool thing. Like, now companies are going to actually start caring about their people and their interests and getting to know them and getting to understand what moves them forward. Because before, they didn't really care. You just come in and, you know, go to work and go by. But now it's, I need to understand how you operate, how your day is going to operate now, and how we can sort of fit into that and allow you to do your best work.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, we check the random channel, you know, on our Slack, on our team. We're a small team, we're about 8 people, but checking the random channel, like, we get into the most interesting conversations. And it's really like, you know, I'm trying to find a way to articulate it because I can see it in my head, but I haven't said it a lot. But it's like these other interactions that we're having, like, maybe let's use the step example. Like, you and I, we go head to head for competing on the steps, right? And who cares who wins? Mm-hmm. But the bond that's built in that action carries over into the work. And it's actually useful because it helps smooth the edges of maybe a text on chat not having context or vocal tone, you know, how you'll hear it. It's just, I think it's undervalued, and I don't think it's discussed a lot because of in the 80s and the 90s and early 2000s, we had the management style of don't get to know your people because you're going to have to let them go. And, you know, I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of getting to know your people. You can understand what they want, and then you can position what you need to happen at the organization and figure out if there's alignment between what they want and who they want to become in life and what you're trying to do. Because when there is, it's magic. And when there's not, it's chaos.
That's right. Yeah. And what we've seen is that if you want strong working relationships between your team, you can't just only connect in one way. You need to find ways of connecting in all kinds of different ways. You know, so we have these, you know, little games and challenges that come up, and you see people who aren't normally stepping up to lead suddenly saying, I can do this, you know, I can encourage other people, you know, get out there and get your steps. Or you see, you know, people interacting in ways that they wouldn't normally in a work situation. And all of those connections come together to, you know, to energize people, to make people appreciate each other in different ways, to build empathy. And all of that enhances the work experience as well.
I like how you guys came to the conclusion of seasons, because so over here we did the podcast, and then after like a year or so of doing that, we ended up creating a leadership company where we take clips of leaders giving advice and turning them into leadership challenges. So then companies will license it and we'll send out leadership challenges. So like the first idea was like, okay, we're going to send one a week, right? Because we can do the podcast, get lots of good advice. But we found that like there's a lot of burnout. To actually do something every single week becomes massively hard. Even if it's small, even if it's like, I'm going to give you something that takes 10 minutes and I want you to do it every week. That becomes, by week 20, it is the hardest thing in the world to will yourself to do that. But then we found like we broke it up into like quarters and we'll do like a 3-week sprint or like, you know, so every Friday for like 3 weeks you get challenges. But it's interesting to see the human dynamic of, even if you're doing something fun that you love, that's like not a leadership challenge, right? Even if you're doing something that you like, we still come to the conclusion that it needs to be broken up so that so that's not a constant. So it becomes something to look forward to.
Yeah. Human psychology is super interesting because the season thing took many years to figure out. But it is, I think we've had a 6-week break now between the last season. And, you know, you're starting to see people saying, oh, I really want the next season to start. Really?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's how we want it. You know, you want people looking forward to things, not saying, oh, there's another notification I can ignore. Like creating anticipation, especially in work. Like work needs to be something you look forward to. And this happens all the time with projects, especially when you're on a project for 3 years straight, the same project. It's just constant. The same, more grooming. You have to add some variety into their life. And so to do that in a way that's still the same people coming together, but experiencing new things together all the time, other than the grooming meeting is so important. And so, yeah, seasons have really, really helped with that.
Dude, this is really exciting. I think you guys are onto something. I wonder if there's like a Slack app or something that would, because I've seen stuff for like fitness, right? Like I've seen entire companies just build stuff around fitness and getting people moving, but that gets old really fast because it's like, okay, oh, fit yeah. person, like Joel's gonna win like every time, right? But my team's listening to me and they're like, hell no. But I think the way you did it, when I saw your categories when you were doing screen sharing, you did something for everyone. Like you had mentioned earlier, like all the way from photography to health. And so like, you guys come up with these each season? There's like a fresh batch?
It's a fresh batch. There's about 50 new ones a season, and then there'll be an expansion pack in the middle of the season. So many gamer terms, I know, but hey, they're developers. Mm.
Part of the strength of it as well is that it is community-led. It's not all coming from top down.
Right.
You know, people are stepping up and saying, I want to run something with this thing that I'm really interested in, and I bet other people would be too. And we can, you know, this is a platform that we can empower them to you know, hype up the rest of the community around this thing, to manage it a little bit, to have some ownership in it. And so all of that helps with the longevity of it not just becoming, you know, yet another thing that the boss wants everyone to do.
Yeah, it's all about ownership.
Mm.
That is true. Yeah. And then your stuff looks so good, like the shirts and everything. I mean, the designers you have on staff are unbelievable.
Well, that's another cool thing is we don't have some of the stuff on staff. It's more about how can we celebrate as many game designers or how can we celebrate as many artists out there as possible. And so trying to make it sort of a global experience. But, you know, yeah, going back to that thing, like we had the cycling club is in heated debate right now about what the bounties will be in season 6. And are we trying to go for elevation? Are we trying to go for duration? Are we trying to go for, you know, what's the metric of choice going to be this season in terms of how they motivate and push themselves? And so it's really cool to see that they take the ownership in it rather than us just shoving it at it, like Josh said.
Do you guys track your like employees, like NPS or whatever the term is? Do you track like their happiness or their engagement? Because it must be off the charts for you guys.
Yeah, so we've got, it's at 98%, which is kind of funny. We have a 98% satisfaction and a 98% voluntary retention rate. They're always about the same, which 98% voluntary retention is crazy. That it should not be that high. But yeah, the satisfaction side is interesting. We do it every 2 weeks, where they get pinged with just, you know, how's your mental health? How's your productivity? How's your this and that? and just quick indicators to see how things are going. And usually things are really quite high. Obviously, you know, you can never fully trust that data. And so that's why we also have people on staff that dive deeper into, you know, every person. And, you know, we'll track just about everything we can. We kind of treat them as customers in a way to where, you know, we kind of want to be the Zappos of the customer service world, but with developers, to where they constantly feel like they are supported, they have what they need. You know, if you end up in the hospital, you're going to get a care package by the time you get there. You know, if you say something in Slack about, my goal this year is I really want to learn piano, a piano might show up at your door kind of thing, you know? So we're trying to be just the highest level of service to our developers so that they are inspired to give the highest level of service to our partners. And it's worked, you know, the last decade, you know, we've had incredible retention also with the companies we work. We've been working with some companies for over 10 years with some of the same developers too. Like they won't leave. Like, developers should leave after 10 years. They won't leave. So yeah, it's kind of really fascinating.
The creativity alone is really unique because, like, for example, you know, I'm thinking of I have found that, like, I happen to have a strong creativity, and then someone alerted me that, like, not everybody is like me, and so I realized that, like, some people don't have the same level of creativity as others, and in that case they are the consumer of the creativity. So that what you're doing with coming up with the challenges or how you've built the community to do that, that is actually something that's kind of hard to transfer, because you would have the act of coming up with it gets the buy-in for the season. Like it's even if you just packaged everything and said, here you go, somebody, they don't have the same ownership over that. It's almost like they have to have the will and actually do it as a group.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, creativity is probably the most draining part of it, but also the most energizing part of it, because again, ownership, they start to take ownership of the creativity too. I mentioned we're doing Battle Royale this upcoming season as a Slackbot game. And you got some people from the community working on that, and they are having the time of their lives building Fortnite in Slack, essentially. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just creativity is something I don't think a lot of people think, oh, developers are creative. No, they're code monkeys. No, developers are, they're all people. We're all people here. Like, you need to tap into every aspect of them. How can you tap into every part of them that brings them alive? And so that's the cool thing about these seasons, is they tap into all aspects of their lives, all of the areas where they want to grow, all the areas where they want to improve, and all the stuff they want to focus on. And how can we tap in all that and bring it all together and package it up? And yeah, it's a really cool experience to be a part of. I would love to invite you into our Slack so you can experience it.
That'd be crazy. Yes. We'll talk about that off the podcast or another time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I really like I'm not kidding. This is really cool. I am also curious to know about, because you're out there building all these projects with these different companies, what are some of the trends? Like, what technologies or skill sets are you seeing become more popular right now?
We're certainly, you know, working with a pretty wide range of technologies. In terms of trends, we're seeing that, you know, there's a lot more move towards people having expertise across a lot of different areas in a stack. So, you know, the idea of the full stack developer is, you know, is the cliche, and everyone wants to call themselves a full stack developer. But we are seeing, you know, a lot more sort of demand for people who can find themselves moving across, you know, front end development and AWS and working with databases and that sort of thing. We're seeing still a very strong movement in React. That's been a growing part of the community. Growing part of the trends.
I'd add, I guess, Vue. Vue is one that's starting to come up in terms of the front end frameworks. Starting to see Vue gain popularity. Something that took a few more years than expected, but yeah, definitely the React Node stack is still pretty classic. And adding into that note now, adding into that now though, is the AWS side and the serverless side. And you know, you can't kind of ignore AWS anymore. If you don't have Dynamo, if you don't have Lambda on your resume, it's getting hard to get hired. And so that would be the biggest thing to urge any developers listening, obviously, is it definitely get certified in AWS. Now is the time, because that's a huge growing trend.
That's a great point, actually, because you know, for the first time in a long time, I think the idea of managing your infrastructure as code is really getting traction, and it's inviting a lot of developers into a space that previously they didn't really feel at home in. But you know, bringing in technologies like Terraform or like you know, CloudFormation, other vendors, you know, Google Platform has its own thing there. It's kind of opening up a lot of new avenues for people coming from an engineering mindset to also be thinking about a complete product, you know, an infrastructure as well as just the code that they're running on, which is great. You know, being able to share ownership of an entire feature from conception to delivery, that is really empowering. And so those kind of technology trends are changing the way that people think about their skill set as well.
Yeah, when I first went into AWS years ago, I was like, okay, this isn't intuitive. I'm going to need to learn. Using Heroku, you know, something like that, very, very simple. But there's just the interface was so daunting in AWS with all their products. I was like, okay, I know I need a server. And then I figured out like all the different tools I would need in order to set it up correctly. And I figured it out and then hired a company to manage it for me. For that company, because you know, you want to take the things that aren't like as founders or as CTOs and CEOs as the executive team, right? And simply put, you want to be spending your time solving the problems that only you can solve.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So those things quickly
get, ideally.
Yeah. Ideally. perfect world scenario.
Very perfect.
Do you have any physical offices at all?
I think we did for what, a few months, long, long ago, but no, not anymore.
I mean, they can spring up as needed. You know, that's the advantage. You can rent out a place for a little while if you need to get a bunch of people together for a spike, you know, but
it's
good to be fluid in that regard. Yeah.
What we do have,
go ahead.
I was going to say what we do have is something called the X Outpost. And it's kind of like a hacker house. Essentially, we'll rent out an Airbnb in some exotic place. Not always exotic, but somewhere around the world. And every month it changes. They've unfortunately all gone on hold this year. But yeah, usually every single month, there's you know, about 15-ish X-teamers all living and working and exploring together in some city around the world. Places like South Africa, Thailand, Canada, Argentina, all sorts of different places. They've gone everywhere. And so that's a cool way to, again, create micro communities within the bigger one, and create new relationships, create a lot of cross-pollination of, you know, people on very different projects, getting to share knowledge and learn from each other, but also getting to stay energized and go explore and do cool stuff on the weekends together. So that's been a cool addition as well. Rather than the office, how can we actually bring people together to have a great time together and also cross-pollinate.
And when you first said houses at the beginning of the conversation, I thought they like actually were houses that the developers like lived in different areas. And then as you explained it, I realized that was not the case.
Right. Yeah. So, and actually sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it'll be one house. Other times it'll be, you know, they're in multiple different houses, but we just kind of go with whatever they want to do. It's cool because we'll first center it around an experience. For example, we'll get a bunch of skiers together to go to Croatia, and you know they'll get a bunch of cabins, and so, but they're not retreats. They're still working full time, but you're giving them the opportunity to still come together and kind of co-work in a more unique environment than just going to Starbucks down the street.
Yeah, it's something that having a lot of remote experience you get natively. Like I can be in a different area and then enjoy the outside of work time and this local culture that I'm in. But to try to explain that to someone who's like an older mentality, who wants to see like an ROI of why they're going to do this,
right?
It's like they just don't mesh. And so I'll have you know, I mean, I firmly believe the work style and the culture you have or that you've created at the company is the future of work. This is where people are going. You're just in early, and because what you're doing is you're following and understanding and making decisions from like first principles, human behavior, really low level concepts, and that always like works.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So Biz Stone, the co-founder of Twitter, like 10 years ago said that we were the future of work. And I don't know that we were, but it's kind of been always in the back of our mind, like, let's make sure we are the future of work. That sounds good. And going back to the X Outpost though, you know, it's hard to explain to a client, like, no, they're actually being more productive now that they're at the X Outpost. So don't worry about that. And now our clients actually join us in them. And so they'll go be a part of it. And they're like, wow, this is amazing. I wish I worked this way. I'm getting so much more done. And this is so much more energizing. And they get a taste of the culture too. So it's cool when we can kind of combine with our clients in that way.
Yeah, there's something to be said for movement. I found this out, you know, at first with what I had said, just being a stay-at-home developer, work-from-home developer, and learning how to move around. And I was a lot quieter then. And then when the podcast happened, I started going out and speaking at companies. I started physically traveling around to different organizations. I did like 50-something trips last year. And what I learned from that, yeah. And what I learned from that uptick was that changing the city is like changing the room on steroids. Like I would get more done in the airport and then in the hotel room. I would look at myself, I just traveled. I did like 6 hours, you know, two flights that were 3 hours. And I woke up early and I had to go, you know, do all of this. And but in that time of like waiting for the airplanes, being on the airplane and then being at the hotel room, all those transitions of environments. And for some reason, like I got so much done on a day most people would say is scrubbed because of travel. And it was that freshness of like being around these new people and these new environments. And you just get this energy going from you. And it's like, I have to move more, you know, I have to get out there more.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what's making this period of time so difficult. This is not remote work. Like this isn't how we stay energized normally. We try to get those new sights, new tastes, new smells, new, you know, things that move us forward and keep that energy high. And so, and Josh and I have both done this as well. I traveled 3 years with my wife doing that same sort of concept. Josh did the impossible though. He traveled with his whole family for a year.
For a full year?
Yeah.
For a full year.
How long were you staying in places?
We didn't want to move too fast from one place to the next. So we would do 4 weeks here, 6 weeks there and move along. We had a bunch of colleagues and friends and family to visit in various countries. So yeah, we got around the world over about 10 months.
Nice. How old are your kids?
They're now 6 and 10.
When you were doing this, how old were they?
They were 2 years, less than that. Yeah, four.
Oh, really? Dude, you had kids under three and you were doing this?
They loved it. They loved it. They still talk, you know, they still talk about going to all these places and seeing these people and having these experiences. It's a wonderful thing if you can travel with kids because you get to see the world through their eyes as well.
Did you have like an au pair for your wife or some help? Or?
she was kind of legendary in what she did. But yeah, you know, we broke it up as well so that sometimes we'd be on our own in a place and then other times we'd be staying with friends or with family and have a bit of a change up as well. So just like you said, you know, you have a change and you get to re-energize and enjoy things more. You know, like if you had to be a tourist for that entire time, that would just be exhausting.
Yeah, that is true. We were actually looking for flights to go out to Colorado because I was like, after being stuck inside, that's not a vacation, being forced inside. That was the most, I mean, we're still in it. We're kind of coming out of it right now. I'm in Florida. But ooh. Yeah. And you said, ooh, like a bad thing.
I said, ooh.
Oh, ooh. Poor Joel. He's in Florida. No. So a lot of people in the United States make fun of the Florida, but yeah, see, now I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, sorry, I ruined it. One little ooh killed it all.
we're going with the flow, my friend. No, but Colorado, I was trying to get out to Colorado. We're big hikers, outdoor people, and the flights are like, they're so limited right now. So the layovers are like 24 hours, and I'm like, I can't. Yeah, so I was like, well, the only way we would be able to do it is if we stayed, you know, not the whole time in Colorado. We did like 2 or 3 days at the connecting area, which is fine. But in July, the flights sort of resume. So we could see on the flight trackers that they're coming back. So once July gets here, we'll probably avoid the heat of the summer and go check out the mountains. But yeah, traveling is something to go from constantly traveling to just stop. There's so many professions and people. It's just mentally, it's difficult. How did you guys handle the COVID?
Oh, it's been tough. It's been really tough. I think we've had enough practice with it though, in terms of the isolation side of it, to where, you know, we've got the routines down. The hardest part is, how do you create the novelty? How do you create the new experiences that keeps the energy going? So that's, thankfully we had a season going, you know, and it was called New World, which we had named it back in October, but it kind of worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, the idea was to be about, you know, finding new worlds in your life, whether those new worlds are things like learning piano or, you know, discovering a new genre of book. You know, the key to the remote lifestyle is constantly finding new worlds, and it's up to us to find them. It's entirely on us. I think a lot of people, when they first become remote, they think they're kind of waiting because they're used to the office sort of presenting them with, you know, new experiences and new worlds and whatnot. So when you're first new, you're waiting for, okay, well, something's going to change eventually, right? Something's going to get different eventually, right? And so that's what this quarantine period has been like. It's like, okay, I really need to force myself now to find those new worlds, to find those new things that are going to give me new challenges in life to go explore and do that, even if I have to do it from home. And so now, looking ahead to this next season, it's like, okay, not all of us can necessarily go do everything we want to. But what can we do? Like, let's not make any excuses. Let's stop putting our life on pause and stop waiting to be told what to do and actually start figuring it out. And so I'm really excited for this next season because it's going to be fun to explore. Like, for example, we're going to go buy some bikes for the first time. And I've been putting that off for so long. And this is finally the motivation. Like, come on, stop making excuses. You need a new world to explore. You're very limited on what you can do right now. Go do it. And so that's really cool to get to do that. But obviously cannot wait for the travel to come back. I think it's going to be a long ways away until we feel comfortable doing it, but definitely looking forward to it.
How do most of your customers find you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is referral-based, obviously advertising-based, but it's a lot of just building great relationships with people. And the cool thing is, you know, a lot of people go on to work elsewhere, and so they'll kind of take us with them, and they'll spin up a new team. And so that's really cool because that allows us to spread into new industries really quickly. But yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of word of mouth, to be honest, over the years. And that's really cool to see that happen naturally.
What's the size of the organization now?
Well, I mean, it depends if we're talking community or size of the team, but either way, we try to keep that stuff wrapped up for now in terms of, you know, investing and all that stuff. But we put ourselves in the top 10 of the all remote companies in terms of size and scale and revenue and all that. So we've definitely come a long way in the last 10 years, and it's you know, we're in the several thousand in terms of the community, in terms of what you can tap into if you're a company. So we've got that scale there, of qualified people ready to go, and so that's that took a long time to build up that network, obviously, because there's you know, the vast majority of people out there are not qualified for what companies are looking for. You know, companies like TopTal, for example, the top 3% or whatever, it's the actual qualified number out there is well below 1%. So you really, doesn't matter what number you tout, there's such a small sliver of people out there that are truly forward moving, that are truly experienced in working remotely, and are truly sort of proactive and have the right energy to add value to your team immediately. So we're looking for a very specific sort of person, and that's what keeps companies coming back to us.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I mean, I'm very attracted to the, like, if I had known something existed like this a while ago, I would have joined that team, because it's I mean, I say that, but also, like, I'm just so entrepreneurial that, like, I don't know what it is. I just like going out there you know, I guess it's just the way that my specific life unfolded, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has their path. I'm so grateful that you guys do what you do and that you're creating an environment like that. Obviously, it sounds like the people that you attract have that entrepreneurial spirit too.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I think you have to have a certain level of entrepreneurial spirit to be a great remote worker, because it requires so much independence. I think that's going to be another thing, interesting thing to watch over the next year. Facebook's getting a lot of criticism for saying that working remote is going to be a privilege. I don't think that everyone's necessarily cut out to work remote, to be honest.
I agree.
You know, it is something that some people need the office to stay energized, to stay focused, to stay, you know, at a high performing level. It requires so much independence and focus and, you know, kind of like that entrepreneurial spirit, that ambition to constantly be moving things forward if you want to work remote at the highest level, which is where we are. So it's going to be an interesting year to see how things pan out.
Yeah. And what we've found as well is that, you know, over the years, like, it just keeps coming back. You know, if you don't have sustainability, you've got nothing, you know. If you can't sustain what you're doing and grow it gradually, you know, organically, then you're going to lose what you've built. So, you know, with the kind of people who are attracted to this style of working, you know, you asked about tech trends before. Well, the one trend is that things keep changing, you know, in technology. There's always something new to learn. And so when you've got the people who already are constantly wanting to learn and grow themselves, the way to sustain that is not by piling more and more expectations on them, but it's by, you know, it's by giving them permission to step away from the computer now and then. You know, you already know that they want to learn and grow. So the way to sustain that is by, giving them opportunities and empowering them to develop other parts of their life, to find energy and inspiration in all those unexpected places. Yeah. And that's where I think we've been able to build something really strong.
Yeah. I like that you keep mentioning about the consistency over intensity, because that's something that I'd say it's such a lesson that I've learned so many times that I don't make the mistake anymore. I just similar, I guess, the guy who writes a lot about it, James Clear, Atomic Habits. Like, just look at the recurring habits in your schedule, and that's what's going to happen long term. And so I guess maybe it was getting older or just experience, whatever it may be. But I get reflective, you know, because I want to answer people's questions. We get a lot of outreach from the show and stuff, and people ask a lot of these questions. And so I'm always trying to think of, like, what's the smallest, like, pieces of advice I could give that would genuinely help individuals and not necessarily be cliche, because a lot of the advice we talk about, like, I notice when people give advice or when they're talking about, like, the end result of what they learned, right? Like, this is what I was left with. But I was trying to, like, work that backwards and say, okay, what's the formula I could give someone that would allow them to end up at the successful result no matter what? And it would just be like, don't give up, like, just keep trying, and then you'll definitely make mistakes and figure it out and learn. Like, for me to learn the consistency over intensity, I went and burnt out so many times And then I realized, you know, I reached my peaks of like my motivation and my physical ability to work. There's only so many hours in a day. And you know, you hear people about all working 20 hours. And so you try, and I just kept trying and experimenting and failing, and then figuring out like, what is the best setup for me? And, you know, how do my natural patterns of energy work throughout the day? And how much attention and focus do I have? Like, how many blocks of things can I get done, and then build it around that? For me personally, I have 3 blocks of energy a day, and I structure everything like that. And it took me, you know, 32 years to figure that out. I'm saying, okay, I get 3 solid blocks of day where I can have like extreme focus and achievement over some, you know, task or things I want to move forward. And that's been really useful. But yeah, I think that concept of like just keep trying at something, and I think that formula will always lead the individual to the result after a lot of pain. Maybe people don't like to, I'm not selling it very well, but yeah.
That's the beauty of remote, though, is you discover that, oh wait, everything now is about the value I add. It has nothing to do with how long I water cooler talk. It doesn't matter how, you know, whether I get the corner office or not. It doesn't matter about the politics. All that matters is, what value are you going to add today? And the beauty of that is it forces you into self-awareness, because you have to figure out very quickly, how am I going to add value today? I need to figure this out. I need to figure myself out. I need to figure out, when am I most high performing? And this is why I absolutely love this way of working. I think it is the most effective way there is. I think there will always still be a place for offices. We need to collaborate on big ideas in big moments in person, I think, a lot of times. But in terms of getting things done, this is everyone with self-awareness and knowing how to add value and how to do it in an instant. So, very exciting times.
Yeah.
I think the technology of us, I mean, if you look at it, it's exponential for us communicating, right? Like the idea of doing this, what we're doing right now. I mean, you guys are in Australia. We're here, we're having a fluid, seamless conversation face-to-face. Some of the future technology that I've seen with the holograms and people being in the same room, that's just going to level the playing field. And I don't even think that that's 10 years away. I mean, I think that's a few breakthroughs and then a couple companies commercializing it. And I think that could be here pretty quickly.
Who needs holograms? We've got conferences in Animal Cross now. Animal Crossing, sorry.
I know what that is. Wow.
I mean, but that's my favorite part of this year, has been people are getting so creative. And, you know, we've been sitting in the sidelines for 10 years, like trying to push the innovation. You've seen what we've done now, but the amount of innovation coming out now in the last 4 months is awesome. We're getting so much inspiration coming from that. I love seeing like what escape rooms are doing, allowing you to like control things with a live actor in the room. Like, there's so many cool things happening that again, I keep talking about this next year. I'm so hyped up for this next year, because remote work is just going to skyrocket in all new ways. And it's exciting.
Do you have any examples on your site of like projects that you guys have done or things you've built?
Man, yeah, we have a case study section. In terms of kind of the most interesting ones to point out, a lot of it's NDA, obviously, but I think the biggest one recently was the Super Bowl. We did a lot of the video streaming work for that, which was, you know, we're talking massive amounts. People are finally watching the Super Bowl online a lot. And so, you know, we're looking at a lot of concurrent users, a lot of scalability. And so I think there's a cool case study on that on our website for anyone who wants to check that out.
Nice. Yeah, I actually just got a request from a listener that said that they wanted me to have on someone from this company called Charter, which apparently like owns Spectrum, or like a big communications thing, because they wanted to hear about the topic of digital transformation there, because apparently they went from all like the physical cables to the internet. And I was like, whoa, I've never thought about that. That was like a massive transformation that our whole world just went through, because we used to go through cable and now we go through the internet. And I wanted to talk, I got some questions for those people.
Yeah, we're also working with Beachbody, who is, you know, the biggest fitness company in the U.S. And, you know, their numbers are just skyrocketing right now, too, because everyone, they can't go to the gym. And so doing a lot of cool video on demand stuff there, and just dealing with all the scalability. I think that's the other cool thing happening right now with, again, this next year is going to be interesting. Really, and why AWS, I think, is such an in-demand skill is, you know, scalability right now is off the charts, you know, to keep up with everyone being at home and everyone needing the internet and everyone needing to stream more video. And there's so many interesting tech challenges going on right now that it's a great time to be a developer, but it's also a lot of cool new challenges.
I saw a new chipset last night, or a new, I think it was a chip. And what it did was it multiplied over the fiber. It multiplied how much data could be transferred by splitting the light spectrum into these different, like 100 different lines, and then running parallel data. And it was unbelievable. I'm not describing it exactly perfect, but it like 100x'd like the ability of transfer of data. It wouldn't be for like an office. It would be for like a telco or something like that. But it was how you could amplify the current throughput of the existing fiber systems versus laying new cables, right? Because that's like a big thing. And I like to watch some of the, I keep an eye out for the like research happenings when they make major breakthroughs, because I'm always thinking one of these days I'm going to commercialize one of these coming out of a school or a lab or something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anything we didn't cover today or want to get out there? What's the call to action? Go to xteam.com, right?
The call to action is get your t-shirts.
Now, can I buy that stuff on your website, by the way?
You know, that's the cool thing, is you have to be an X-Teamer to get this stuff. Now, actually, no, our radio station, which now we're just blowing the minds even further. We have a radio station.
What? Let's give a shout out for the radio station.
Radio.xteam.com is a pretty amazing radio station, as you will see when you get there. But yeah, you can win collectibles there. We do give away some items there. So that's if you really want one, you can get one there. But in terms of call to action, yeah, xteam.com. If you're a developer, you can check out the developer section there. Anyone with senior level experience, we're certainly interested in talking to. Any companies out there looking to scale and grow their teams with people who, again, have that forward moving energy, and they want to see immediate value added to their projects, definitely come our way. Xteam.com. There's a nice hire button in the top right. Click that, and we'll get you someone immediately.
I love it. Yeah, look at that. It's the first. It's right there. You go to xteam.com and just join Xteam.
Boom,
dude. This is great. We did
quick
it.
Quick and easy.
Ryan, Josh,
amazing.
We made a podcast together.
Thank you, Joel.
The internet is an amazing thing. I think it's going places.
I would like to buy a shirt.
How about I send you one as a gift?
That would be.
That's the other way. That's the other way.
That's the other way.
I've been actually trying to buy, like, I do so many of the interviews and I see them wearing like their custom swag that like somebody in design just made for fun or something. And they had like 10 of them, and I want to like buy them. And they're just like, well, I don't know. We don't have any, or it's just a one-time thing. And I'm like, where is the place where I could buy like these cool internal company swag? Like it's.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a startup idea.
I want it too. Cause like anyone can go buy the GitHub swag. That's cool. I want like the tech insider, like the company that's only making 10 for their team or 100 for their teams or whatever, and then throw a couple extra in there. Cause the creativity that comes out of those is just so unique. Like you couldn't pay someone to like make you something like that, because there's like a story behind it. You can explain it. Like when I'm sitting next to people on planes or wherever I am, you know, oh, that's a cool thing. Explain that. And it's got a story. Like that type of stuff is cool to me.
I was at a Jimmy John's the other day wearing one of these shirts. It was the Zelda one.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, are you really into Zelda, man? I was like, no, this is X-Team. And then I didn't explain what X-Team was. I just walked out. Now his mind's blown. He's like, what is X-Team?
Does it say like xteam.com/hire on the back or anything?
Well, you know, we used to have that, but no one wants to wear an ad. You know,
that
it's
true.
Just the X-Team logo back there. Just the X. So
The curiosity works because I would have Googled it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have saw your shirt. Well,
It's the exclusivity, like you said. You don't want GitHub shirt. You want the one that's hard to get.
Yeah. I want the one that not everybody has. All right. Well, I'll wear it. You send it. I'll wear it on the show and give you guys shout outs and stuff too.
Perfect. The cool thing about these are all limited run. So if you get one, no one's ever going to get it again.
You can give me a used one. That's cool. Just send an even better story.
Perfect.
Awesome. Anything else that we need to do to wrap up here today? You guys feel pretty good?
I think we're good. This was a fantastic conversation. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, my friends, you guys have a lovely evening and we'll talk soon.
Yeah. It was lovely hearing your story as well, John. Great to meet you.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you, guys.